ahead of the bank holiday weekend. University Hospital Limerick is asking patients to explore all other healthcare options before they present to their emergency department. Limerick, of course, one of the worst, if not the worst affected department by emergency overcrowding. May saw the worst overcrowding in the hospital since record began. So somebody who knows a lot more about this than me is Paul Cullen, the health correspondent with the Irish Times. Good evening to you, Paul. Thanks for taking the call.
Good evening, Colin.
The last two bank holiday weekends, unprecedented numbers on trolleys. What's the projection for this weekend, and what are the monthly indications so far shown us as to how this might unfold over the next few days?
Yeah, summer is the new winter in health almost. It's the 1st of June and we're talking about overcrowding, which is just bizarre really, isn't it? Something we associate with the winter more often. Last month there were 12,000 patients on trolleys. That was actually more than there were in January, according to the INMO. Figures I was dealing with today, there were 27,000 people so far this year have spent over 24 hours in an ED, and 9,000 of those were older people over 75. So the straws in the wind are not good. And this is at a time of unprecedented investment in the health service. As you said, the last two bank holidays weekends saw a big surge of patients coming in and heavy overcrowding immediately afterwards. And that has put the fears on a lot of people about the coming bank holiday weekend in spite of the good weather. So the signs are not good. I have noticed there have been some improvement. Delayed discharges, which is a major cause of the blockage, that's patients who are well enough to go out but can't go because there's nowhere for them to go, they've started dropping it recently. And I noticed that the
do individual hospitals come to arrangements with step-down facilities in the form of private nursing homes, or what's the issue there?
Yeah, the message has gone out clearly from the top of the HSE to pull out all the stops, really, to clear hospitals in advance, just like happens at Christmas, to clear hospitals as much as possible, so in anticipation of increased demand at the other side of the bank holiday weekend. So from what I'm hearing from some hospitals, there has been a big clear out, and numbers on trolleys today were in the 300s, which is quite low by the standards of recent months. Right.
Paul, what is the weekend issue? Because there's a discussion about who does and who doesn't work at weekends, and what does and what doesn't get done at weekends in hospitals. And a perception has grown up that nobody works at the weekend in hospitals, which, you know, obviously isn't the case, but that has become the shorthand for what people think
the problem is.
So what is the issue?
It's more complex than that. Yeah, I mean, it's been put on the agenda by the new HSC boss, Bernard Gloucester, who has identified this as one of his priorities. He'd like to see more seven-day working. And as you know, in the rest of, in our lives and in many other areas of work, that's pretty common, you know, but people are compensated for working at weekends and so on. I think it's summed up by a mail I got from somebody who works in a hospital. It's on my phone, so I'm going from memory. But what the person said to me was, in my hospital, no one from management or any of the departments, non-clinical departments, they're all gone at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. They're not there till Monday morning. The only people you'll see in the hospital on a Sunday are nurses, healthcare assistants and porters.
So just explain that the admin people who maybe are dealing with records is phlebotomy, those kind of things, in that as well.
Yeah,
blood tests, is that affected?
So the point that this person made, and I'm not vouching for it being true across the system, but it certainly is true in many places that I've seen. The first thing is when some types of staff say that they're working, they may be working on call. That means they're not present, but they're available. And what the point this person made was that some of the people doing x-rays and so on are only on call for urgent cases. So everything slows down. So it's not the same. Having somebody on call is useful, but it's not the same as having a body in situ in the hospital.
All right. When you say like an urgent case, you know, whatever might or might not meet the bar for urgent, but if there's a sufficient volume of non-urgent cases, the cumulative effect of that is pretty urgent, even if the individual cases don't meet that bar.
Yeah, it just means that the system clogs up. And that's why on Monday mornings and particularly on Tuesdays, overcrowding shoots up to the highest level that you see in the week before falling then again towards the end of the week.
Right. And what are we seeing between the INMO and the HSE? There's an emergency department task force. How is that going? Is that achieving some of the results you pointed to at the start of the conversation?
Yeah, the emergency department task force has lumbered on for several years. It didn't seem to be prioritised, certainly under Paul Reid's leadership of the HSE. I'm not sure it's risen up any more in the priority stakes since then, but it did meet last Tuesday, and the INMO were presented, and the INMO co-chair, the task force, and so they get the rundown basically on the figures so far today and so far this year, and including as a new element of those these weekend discharge figures, which is something new,
right? And something you kind of see is you're treating with cautious optimism.
Well, yeah, I mean, it follows from Bernard Gloucester's focus on 7-day working that the logical thing is then to find out what exactly is the difference in the level of activity in hospitals, in different hospitals, between weekdays and weekends and bank holidays. And what we saw from the figures that came out today and were reported today is that, you know, your average big hospital might have 600 discharges during the week, but that drops to 200 at the weekend. So it's indicative of a greatly lowered level of activity at the weekend.
All right. Finally, and very briefly, Paul, then there was some discussion today about net recruitment into the HSE, and we were discussing recruitment and retention in a range of sectors earlier. Is there cause for optimism there?
Well, you know, it's a glass half empty, glass half full thing. If you talk to the Minister for Health, he will tell you correctly that they've never been recruiting at the level that they are in the history of the health service. Massive numbers, 20,000 over recent years. It doesn't seem to be enough for several reasons. Growing population, aging population, increasing churn in staff. And that's probably a factor of burnout after COVID, and the fact that it's there are gaps in service, particularly in more remote areas and more remote hospitals, and they are proving very, very difficult to fill. So yes, there are more staff joining the health service than ever before. But still, there are these gaps in service, and there is a lot of churn of staff, right, which is leading to disruptions in service in many areas.
All right, Paul Cullen, health correspondent with the Irish Times. Thanks very much for your time this evening. Christina, the issue of the emergency departments came up quite a bit today, I think, at leaders' questions, but it's been coming up it's been coming up over the last two bank holiday weekends. Effectively, yeah. The HSE says there's no such thing as winter surges anymore. We have a year-round critical issue.
Yeah, and you see that with Bernard Gloucester, the new head of the HSE, and he was saying that he's actually getting rid of this new winter plan being launched every, you know, autumn about how we're going to deal with it. It's going to have to be sort of a rolling management of the situation. But I think Paul hit the nail on the head there in terms of, you know, the common you know, crisis that's been constantly raised, I suppose, in the Dáil. And there is a bit of, I think, despondency to some degree about it. But, you know, those figures, you know, they speak for themselves. 600 people being discharged on weekdays, and that falls down to 200 on weekends. Like, I know the INMO have been out saying, you know, this 7-day roster idea doesn't seem to be a runner for them in terms of, you know, you're rostering in perhaps a burnt out workforce as it is. But I'm not sure they're going to get the level of sympathy because, you know, that they might be expecting, because I think anyone who has been in hospital with the loved one, particularly on the weekend, would vouch for perhaps that email that Paul received about it slowing down, the consultants not being there, you know, being on call, but yes, not doing the usual rounds perhaps as such. So, you know, I just think at this point in time, there's going to have to be a definite rethink on that because, right, you know, even people will talk about the private sector. You know, if you want an MRI in a private clinic, you know, they give appointments for those around the country at maybe 10:30 at night, yeah, at 11 p.m. Well, you're not going to get an MRI in the public sector at that time because nobody's there to operate it.
All right. Still a mountain to climb, Doug, I'd say.
It's a huge mountain to climb. And yeah, like, I mean, Bernard Gloucester has said some good things early on. The end of the winter plan, absolutely. The need for a 7-day roster, a standardised roster across the system, that that has to happen. You know, this discharges coming grinding to a halt over the weekend, that just can't continue. That just can't continue. And that you will have workers, you will have healthcare assistants and porters and nurses, as I said, that are in there over the weekend. But it has to be standardised across. If you look at the figures now, you'll have Limerick, massive amount of waiting lists, people on trolleys. But you look at somewhere like Waterford, which has been quite proactive, University Hospital Waterford, in its management, that it has reached out to its region and its community for step-down facilities and discharges and all the rest. That's the good news
but
story.
But elective gets wiped out across the board. The first thing they do, they move to an emergency footing, but your elective procedures are gone.
No, but
waiting lists build
up
somewhere else.
Waterford have good management. They don't cancel. They have a good system, but it's not standardised across the health service. We need to move towards that. What Bernard Gloucester has now found himself this weekend is asking staff across the health service to please come into work. You know, that is not something that we can sustain.
Do you support that?
That's where he's at, and what he's saying beyond
that.
Where we are now, we need to see staff in this weekend if they can, but we need to have a system whereby staff are rostered throughout the health system to ensure that we don't have this every weekend and compounded every bank holiday weekend.
Rory O'Murricu?
Yeah, look.
Would you support that call for people to come in, more people to come in at the weekends?
Well, that's it. You've absolutely no choice. That's where we're at. But the fact is, that's not sustainable.
What do you say to concerns like, you know, that the INMO have of...
In relation to people being burnt out. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. But we need a hospital system that actually is fit for purpose. We are going to have proper engagement with the nurses, with consultants, with everybody from a point of view of 5 for 7 day contracts, and making sure that we can actually deliver. Look, the figure is ridiculous. 600 during the week and then down to 200 at the weekend and 12,000 last month. The other thing is more beds, and best practice has been used in certain places. Beaumont has provided its own home care plans because they're not available to make sure they can discharge more people.
Points Paul Cullen was saying, he acknowledges that, you know, recruitment is going up, but the size of the task that's ahead of that the staff that's being recruited is growing with an aging population and complex needs and the services that are being provided. So we're back to recruitment again, aren't we?
And
like the public consultants contract, even more generous offers don't seem to be working.
We have seen 1,000 additional beds, and we have seen, Paul is absolutely right, there have been 20,000 new recruits since 2020, which is phenomenal when you think about it. But we do need more. And I think what the minister has said is about in support of the year-round plan, and that they're looking at an urgent emergency care plan for the rest of this year and then a 3-year plan as well. And it isn't just about capacity, it is about management, just as others have said, about addressing the exit blocks, looking at what they've done in Waterford.
So whose fault is it that there isn't a standardised approach like Waterford's across the country? Why isn't there? Because the case study of Waterford has been known for quite a while.
Well, I think it is recognised. I think we want to move in that direction, where you do see...
Isn't that what a government is there to do, to drive the change?
It is, and we are investing in building up our community health and 94 primary care centres around the country. As Paul Cullen said, they're addressing those blocks into whether it be home care or nursing homes or community beds. So I think we can do it. But as others have said, it is a huge challenge. We have a new HSE chief on board. He's only in the door a few weeks, but nobody wants to see this. And the trolley numbers are unacceptable.
Being funneled through AME.
The elephant in the room here is a buckling GP service, I think, around the country that is resulting in people being told to present to A&E when they can't get a GP.
A doctor on call,
even in their area, with their young child being told to go to the emergency room, or for people that have been looking for a GP appointment for perhaps a number of weeks and end up getting their illness or their situation a lot worse and presenting. So, you know, we need to look at I think the long term river of problems, I think, that the health service is dealing with. It's not just about, you know, getting consultants in on the weekend. It's actually about resourcing something, you know, at the nub of it. And, you know, sometimes it does feel like there's a bit of disconnect there.
All right. Well, Rory O'Murica, what's the big idea for getting more GPs in? Because yesterday when the abortion issue was being discussed and there was a vote in the Dáil on foot of the expert report that was being produced, the lack of GPs, whether they're providing services in the abortion area or not, but the sheer lack of GPs across the country is one of the things that's putting pressure on emergency departments. Yeah. So where are they going to be got from?
We're back to looking at workforce planning, you know what I mean? We can talk about a multi-annual capacity plan to deliver everything that needs to be delivered. But the fact is, we know we have not enough people in relation to community healthcare. We do not have enough GPs. Briefly, but we have to make sure we train people.
Yeah, I think we need more GPs to be directly employed with the HSE and not have to set up small businesses and all the costs that are incurred in terms of your family GP practice. Right.
Most people have opted out and they're basically going into other people's businesses.
We're going to come back to you after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.